my knapsack on my back.
Good morning. This is Wanderings. This is Sil Stenman here.
And this is Sandy Washington. And today we welcome a person who is well known in Timbers as Junior. Junior comes from Uganda, and he came to the United States at age 16. We are so fortunate to have you with us, Junior.
Thank you so much, and I'm so delighted to be here today with all you ladies.
It's just really hard to have you leave your patients. I know it's hard for you, but we're so great. And we'll try and hurry through this, but we want to hear everything we can from you so you can get back.
I'm always delighted and proud, you know, to be part of this community, and I've been very, very, very happy, you know, to be with Holly Creek, and it's all about the residents. It's the love and passion that we provide to them every day we come in our work. The smiles, you know, we have to make them happy. You know, this is, sometimes it makes it hard on us, but at the end of the day, when you have that good heart, you know, the empathy, you put yourself in their shoes, and at the end of the day, we all getting there. And to me, it's been incredible, and it's been a very, very great journey, you know, coming along, and I'm so delighted to be part of that.
Well, this is why we're so happy to have you here, because your attitude means everything to the patients.
Thank you.
When did you come to Holly Creek?
I started working Holly Creek in February 2009, which means that puts me 15 years of service now, and I can't ask for more. I'm very happy and delighted, you know, being part of this community. And
you were in other communities too, weren't
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. At times I go and help at Summer in Glen, I help at Claremont Park, but the love and passion and the compassion, everything stays within the communities. That everything I do, we do that from the bottom of our hearts. And I've been happy that God is protecting me that way and driving me in that path.
You were quite young when you started here then.
I was very young.
Yeah. And for a young man to have that kind of compassion is just remarkable. Did that come from inspiration from someplace in your background?
Absolutely. I would say my grandmother. She told me a lot of things growing up as a young man. Coming back from school, watching her cook, doing laundry. I mean, it was very, very a lot of different things that I get to learn, and all of those things she showed me how to be and work with people. You know, people is the most incredible thing on the earth that will give you the best results. Otherwise, I'm very, very happy that she inspired me, and still today, I'm still beyond that.
Did she live with you or near you?
Yes, I totally stayed with her when I was in Uganda. That's when we come back from school for holidays, mm-hmm. and we always among that group. So that was very nice.
Very important person.
Yeah.
You know, it interests me how many grandparents have affected those people whom we've interviewed. Many of our interviewees have really been affected by their grandparents.
True. It's a path that, you know, we learn from our roots, and all these things we missed out, at the end of the day, it keeps coming as we grow on. And pretty much we have to share that with anybody around us, you know. And sharing, to me, is one of those things that I conquered. And I wanted to share that in healthcare, which I brought to Holly Creek. You know, that if you have that passion in sharing, definitely you can be able to work, or you can be able to make anybody happy, however much.
Grandmother would be very happy and proud to hear you saying all that. Tell us about the boarding school and the school, the education that was in your area when you were there.
School was really tough in my country, but at the end of the day, I'm proud and glad that I had an opportunity to go to school. And we had boarding schools and we had day schools. I went to a boarding school, and most of the times within a year, I can be in school maybe like 9 months out of the 12 months, because the boarding school, it was a school that we go, we'd be learning English, we'd be learning mathematics, we learn a lot of different things, and even social studies, that's about like social life, if you get to socialize, how you see people around and interactions. So all that really gave me a good path, you know, growing up, and it directed me who to be and how to be and how I feel about others.
And when did you start learning English?
I started learning English in school when I was in primary one. So primary one, that takes us back, I would say I'm probably going to be like around 8 years old. Mm-hmm. That's the time pretty much we're starting to learn English in my country. That's in Uganda.
And you
did
speak
you learn other languages too, or just English?
Honestly, we had a wide variety of languages we can be able to speak. We had, you can speak English, you can speak Islamic, you can have German, we had French. But as we go on, English was totally meant the standard language of the country.
Mm-hmm.
That way, you can be able to communicate to anybody. Why? Because that was the language of the nation.
It sounds like an excellent school.
It was
wonderful.
You
had a wonderful background.
Mm, thank you.
Very fortunate.
It was instrumental, yes.
And how many children were in your family, or are in your family?
We are five right now. I have four siblings, three girls and one boy. Yeah, but all of them, they're staying right now in Connecticut with my father and my stepmother.
They're in this country.
They're in this country,
and
USA right now.
Just mother is living back in Uganda.
Correct. Yeah. And my own mother, she's still in Uganda.
And do you have an opportunity to see your siblings?
Yes, I do. I'll be calling them if I get to, you know, talk on video chat, all this new stuff coming on, talk on the phone more often. Once in a while, I can go and visit, you know, maybe like maybe once or a couple times in a month, depending on the schedule, how busy it gets sometime. But I always trigger love for the family, and we're always close, very
close. And have they picked up the interest in health care and caring for people as...
The better. I mean, to me, it's something you can't walk away from, you know. Like nowadays, it's all about the healthcare that it builds, you know, like the nation and the people around all of us. It's not going to matter how old you are, but we all going to be under that path that we all get there. And at the end of the day, they are very proud to what I'm doing right now, and they are
very happy.
Yeah, so I'm hoping. You know, they'd be able to follow in my footsteps.
What ages are they?
The little girl, we have a girl who is bigger girl right now, she's 16, and then the other one, she's 13, and then another one, she's 9, and the boy, he's 6.
Well, it's really too early to know what those
yeah, very, yeah, very
nice
early.
Family.
Yeah.
I bet
yeah.
they look up to you, and that's important. Yeah. You're going to be the inspiration for someone, too.
Thank
that's
you.
For sure.
Absolutely.
So well, it's enjoying people that goes a long way in other fields. Just nice to be able to talk with you here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I'm always delighted to share that as well.
I know you have many friends here. And tell us about your sport. You play soccer?
I'm a really good soccer player. Yeah, I would say that. You know, I enjoy
what
running.
What age did you start playing soccer?
I started playing when I was 7, but something for fun, and the more we kept going on, I was lucky that we had competition and we had these trials that I had like a soccer scholarship,
good,
which was really, really helping me in my studies as I go on, so that was really instrumental for 7 years.
And do you still play soccer now?
Now I still do play, but for fun, with friends on the weekend, especially on Sundays. It's just a good time.
That's almost the best time.
Yeah, absolutely true. Yeah.
You play on Sundays with friends?
Yeah, well, we play with a lot of good friends, and we welcome everybody who is always willing to come join us. And it's a pretty nice park. We play at Dove Valley, right by the Broncos Recreational Center.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they are really, really nice.
Big, a lot of open space
fields
out there.
Yeah, a lot of big room. Yeah.
And so where do you live?
I live in Aurora.
Aurora?
Yeah. Only takes us 15, 20, 25 minutes with traffic to make it there.
What time do you get here to Holly Creek?
Work starts 6 in the morning, so I always leave my house at 5:30. That way I have time in between to make it to work. If any kind of traffic or anything, it's always been my commitment to make it a work on time.
How long is the day then once you get here?
Boy, it's a long day. It's a real long day, 12 hours. But in those 12 hours, whatever you're doing in those 12 hours, it's something that you really want to be doing in life. Because it's not a boring day. You're working, but still you're creating relationships. You're working with people. Any kind of interactions you're doing that day, it's been incredible. In my 12 hours, it doesn't even get to be a long day at the end of the day. It shortens because I get passion and I get to deliver what I have to do that day. And I always keep that in my mind.
And you have the meaning of empathy.
And that's very, very crucial. That's one of my main basic important matters putting me up here today. That we see a lot of different things, or we see people going through other things, and we wonder if we can be able to help them through that role. And at the end of the day, we can try, or we put ourselves in their shoes, that at the end of the day, if it's me, how am I going to be able to get through it? I mean, to me, it's all about trying and giving it the best. I motivate myself every day. I come to work so I can be able to deliver that service, and I make sure I do that with a happy smile and a good heart.
Well,
you have to be empathetic every day, every hour.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true.
You have some way of, it sounds like a meditation or some kind of quiet time that maybe you have to just set yourself for the day. Does that,
which
even
I
if
really
it's not
do.
An everyday thing?
Yeah, which is not, but at the end of the day, I try to make sure that I encourage myself, or I burn time to make sure I know how to calm myself so I can be able to reminisce what I go through, you know, that day. And I can be able to meditate through. Other times I can take a little short break, or I can be able to sit down, probably go through like little documentations. I can do a little reading. You know, by the end of the day when I get home, that's when I'd be able to relax and just have a relaxing mind.
And what are some of the ways you might comfort a patient that's anxious or?
Patience. You know, patience. You need a lot of
patience.
Yeah, a lot of patience with that resident. You're going to create some kind of an environment whereby you have, you need to have your basic mind and skills, that without patient or resident you're working with at that time, you're creating what they call an eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
You're showing them that you're welcoming them to your world. You're not trying to walk away, or you're not trying to show any threat, but you're showing them you're coming in peace. And there is what we call like a hand of thought. You know, you can always be able to, you know, have them your hand, you know, that way they know that you are with them. You know, it's about trust. You know, it's about trust, and it's challenging for them, but at the end of the day, the trust you're giving them, the patience you're giving them, and that privacy as well, they're going to need that. However, you need to make sure they are safe, because safety is going to be the main basic important role here. At the end of the day, you don't want anybody to get hurt or any kind of harm. So that's one of the things that we always watch out with my team members and our nurses. We really have a good team out there, you know, delivered by good staff members. So at the end of the day, we have that communication that even if I know I won't be able to calm the resident down, I have somebody else with different skills who can be able to do the same thing maybe I can do, or can even do it better. So this is the communication that we always deliver and we share within everybody.
And communication is so important in so many aspects of our life.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, if we get to communication, this brings a lot of different attention, you know, because most times we can have or see residents behaving in different behaviors. And that might not be a behavior. That's going to be a communicating form that maybe they're communicating. They're trying to tell you something. But how are you going to be able to know that? I mean, you can be able to deliver that message, but how you'll be able to get to them? Even if you can be able to talk to them, they can be able to hear you, or you'll be able to go softly and gently so you can welcome them in your world. That way, you can always be able to settle those things down. However, that's going to take you time, which is fine. That's always how you get succeed in that path.
And it's so important to listen to the residents, to your patients.
Very.
To listen to their fears, their worries, the good things in their life.
Very vital, very vital.
And I like your tone of voice.
Very vital, because at the end of the day, they are, I mean, you were with them, and you don't know what they are trying to tell you, but you're staying calm, you know, and you're staying with that voice, which is tone. You're not raising, or you're not trying to show them that you're trying to be so straight. I mean, you get to understand and listen
Junior,
to everything.
Do you get frustrated at moments?
I would say it's so hard for me to get frustrated at work. It's very hard. You know,
I'm always very patient.
I'm always a very happy smile kind of person. Even if I know I can be able to get to that, it's not going to happen, because I'll be able to know how am I going to be able to excuse myself, or why am I thinking this is getting close to be frustrated, which definitely is going to be so hard for me to do, because I will know when I need to get the
break. And that
break
is a gift.
Yes, absolutely.
That you can tell that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Do you think a lot of your attitude comes from your religion?
True. The way...
Tell us about your background.
The way, you know, like the way we were raised, you know, we were brought up, you know, in very, very decent, strict families, you know, that you always care about who your neighbor is. You know, it don't matter if you're related to that person. It's about that person is your neighbor, and that person has to be catered or taken care of as you want to be taken care of, you know.
Tell us about your parents, your mother and your father.
My mother, she's in Uganda right now. She's still in Uganda right now, but we talk on the phone. You know, we FaceTime, especially every weekend most of the times. We're always talking on the phone. She leaves me a message, like during the weekdays, you know, I'll be able to leave a message. If something needs to talk, I can always be able to make a phone call, which is good that I can just push the number on my phone. So I'm really, really in good relationship
and
communication with her.
Sure, it's the number of miles between you.
Yeah. I mean, however, I miss her physically.
Sure.
Know, seeing her right there in front of me, you know, making that good tea, you know, the good lunch or the meals. I miss all that good stuff, you know, great memory. But at the end of the day, as we grow on, you know, we know these things can be able to happen, but how can we be able to be in part of it as well. So I'm very happy about that. Yeah.
But your father was a Muslim, and your mother was a Protestant.
Yes, that was something growing up, you know, because I had opportunities to know what the church and the mosque look like. I mean, these are two different places of worship, but I go to mosque on Fridays and I go to church on Sundays, and that's something I didn't mind as a little boy growing up, you know. And to me, I feel like I learned a lot from it as well. You know, we had those Sunday schools, you know, when you're growing up, you know, keep away from the big church, and they have all those songs in church and the choir, and, you know, I get that memory when it comes back to me. It's very interesting, you know. And
was there a lot of music?
Well, a lot of good
churches?
Music. Yes, a lot of good music, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the mosque is totally different, because the mosque it's a different setup, you know. So right. It's it was very, very interesting, you know. But at the end of the day, I think religions, we get to know, or at times we don't get to know when we're growing up, not till we're grown, and then we know when or what you want to choose to be. But that's something definitely I agreed with upon.
It can be a constant in your life that you have some kind of a foundation, and those songs come back even when you're this age.
True, yeah.
From Sunday school.
Did you ever play any musical instruments or sing or?
Honestly, I used to be in a school choir dance. You know, they had we had one of these little competitions going on in the choir in school, and each colors, we had like a dance for the color so we can be able to win the competition. And I was just like a little dancer, you know. I used to do like some kind of dancing. They put things on our arms, things on our legs, and we have to, you know, they have like beads in it, and it was incredible, you know.
Oh, it sounds
yeah
weird.
I was only like 11 or 12
if
I get to remember.
Were you a pretty good dancer? I'm sure you were.
Well, I think I was, you know. I can't say no to that, you know. Yeah, I think it was interesting. Yeah, it was very nice. Yeah.
Do you like to dance now?
Yeah, now I like to shake my head once in a while. You know. just a little good time, you know, with friends at times, you know. But
that
yeah, at the end of the day,
keep your feet on the ground, you know, keep you balanced a little bit.
What type of music did they have in Uganda?
It's pretty much traditional. It's like traditional music. So they have like drums. Mm-hmm. You know, they have those big drums, and they use sometimes they use things like shakus, you know, like
the maracas in Spanish.
Exactly, yeah, absolutely, yeah. So they know how to use these instruments, and they can be able to form some kind of like a rhythm, you know, and all you know is just people dancing and enjoying themselves. Most likely, by that age, I wouldn't be able to know what the songs we were singing were all about, but what I know is the excitement, you know, and the congregation, when you see those songs, it's so incredible to watch, you know, like
the whole body coming around.
Yes, you know, so nice. that was very nice, you know. I was only like probably like 9 or 10, 11, but I'm seeing all this drumming, and you know, it was such immense, you know.
Well, there was a person here that played a little part in your life, Jane Keller. Tell us what she did for you.
I can't thank Jane Kelly enough, because she motivated me a lot. You know, I had like a lot of different things when I started in 2009 and 2010, but that patience, you know, she showed me, you know, be yourself, be patient, ask, you know, and still now I'm still asking. There is a lot of different things we assume, we human beings, we know, but we don't. I mean, we learn every day, and Miss Jane, that's something that I'm going to be thankful for her, because every day I kept learning, and I'm always thankful, and I ask her, you know, how do I get better, you know, what do I need to do here, how can I be able to make this work. So all these things, I always run to her. Even if I don't talk to her on the phone, I can always deliver the message so we can be able to keep in touch, and she always writes back, and you know, she's always in good communication with me, and it's all about the resident care, and I told her how the passion, how I feel. There are some things that you feel you want to do more, and I always tell her, you know, I'm thinking about this and this, how can I be able to get that done more, and how am I gonna be able to do it. And she always tells me, how about if we get steps by steps, you know, which is incredible, because you can do some things fast, you always need time and steps within, so you can be able to comprehend, or so you can be able to succeed, you know. So at the end of the day, I'm very thankful. And
she nominated you for an award,
and that was a very, very
it's hard
big
for
achievement
to talk about that, because but that is true. So people listening would like to hear about that award. But
yeah, that was a very, very big achievement, you know, because that was an award for the Colorado, and you were I was facing 4 participants in this award for the nation, and that was incredible.
Was it the Care Partners CNA in Colorado?
Yes, it was the Care Partners CNA in Colorado. And it was hosted in Gordon. Some of my staff, they represented us, and I couldn't be able to make it, but pretty much we had a FaceTime chart. I said, no, my gratitude and my greeting. So that was very, very nice. You know, I was talking online, you know, and I let them know how happy, you know, and very, very motivated I am, you know, to be part of that. So that was very...
Definitely, you earned that.
Very it's instrumental. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
Junior.
That was huge. Yeah, that's... Something keeps you, you know, driving you with what you want hurt.
And now you live by yourself, but I asked you if you like to cook. What did you say?
Boy, I enjoy cooking. I enjoy cooking a lot. You know, I mostly like to make traditional foods. You know, I enjoy making sweet potatoes. I can do cassava. I like rice. You know, that's my staple meal. That's my favorite meal is rice. But I can make rice in different forms. Mm-hmm. I can make the rice with the chicken, like chicken teriyaki. Or I can make that rice with meat, which is like beef. Or we can make that with lamb. But it depends, you know, on the casserole. But I really, really love casseroles, and I enjoy my meals. You know, I'm very much more likely to be more making meals
there,
at home.
There was one thing you mentioned that's not as common for in our household, and that was goat.
Yes, yeah.
And you can get that someplace. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, speaking of that, I have friends, you know, who have like a farm, you know, and... So these farms, they do like a lot of like herding, you know, they have cattle, they have goats, they have chickens, they have goose, they have like a lot of different animals that if you are willing, you can always be able to go there. But for the goat, it's so hard to get within my neighborhood, which is Aurora. But I would say if I'm to get, like my friends, we always provide transportation, and we can be able to drive to Greeley.
Oh.
Sometimes we can drive to Longmont, because that's where they have most of these farms. So most of these farms, you have to talk to someone. That way, they'll be able to be in good terms with you if they are supposed to be selling you the goat.
If that's okay with them. Yeah.
And I know you like to entertain. You like to have friends in, and you like to do all the cooking. It's not just potluck, but you like to be the cook.
No, exactly.
Besides
true.
The host.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always nice, especially like weekends. I like soccer. You know, we get to enjoy watching these soccer games going on TV, and other times you need company so you can enjoy.
Sure.
How are you going to be able to make them happy? We'll be able to cook different dishes. And that, at the end of the day, has been incredible. So I'm very happy. We've been doing that very, very well.
But cooking is such a fun way to be together with people. Yes. If you've made something, they always say cook with love. It makes a difference.
Yes.
So I imagine there's a great bit of that going into your cooking.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah, it's been one of my things to calm myself down, you know.
Sure.
Calm down, it's like I just make it beautiful, and I enjoy whichever item I'm making. Yeah.
Well, Junior, you've given us a wonderful picture of your work, what you enjoy, and who you are. I respect that so much.
Thank you, Priscilla.
You know, I don't know that we should say much more. Sandy?
Well, I was just going to say, I really enjoy seeing you every time I'm over at Timbers. I think of assisted living as my second home.
And you're always...
I like to come over many afternoons. And it's always such a pleasure to see you.
And I
give you a big hug.
Thank you. And I cannot thank you enough. It's always so nice to see you every day.
And it's wonderful for the patience that you have. So with that, thank you, Junior. And we'll see you.
Thank you, Miss Priscilla.
There you go.
Thank you, Sandy. I'm very
and
delighted.
And that is Wanderings for today. So long.
Thank you. Yeah?
Along the mountain track, and as I go,